We are studying Hebrews chapter 11 here on the Radio Bible Course, and we're pleased that you joined us. If you have your Bibles, follow along in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from the paragraph beginning with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your descendants be named. He considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead, hence, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. That's where we left off in our previous session. So we begin here with verse 20. We are given here an expression of Isaac's faith in regard to future blessings of his sons, Jacob and Esau. The story of these two sons begins in Genesis chapter 25 and climaxes in chapter 27, when Isaac, sensing that death is near for him, blesses his sons. Jacob, the second-born, deceives his weak-eyed father Isaac by posing as Esau, who was the first-born, which made him the traditional heir of his father's blessing. There was a deception there, of course. And when Esau later appears and he speaks to Isaac, the deception is found out, but it's too late, for Isaac had already blessed the deceiver, Jacob. Now I want to read just a few verses from Genesis chapter 27, beginning with verse 30. After Isaac finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed, he will be blessed." That last statement, which he made to Esau, reveals Isaac's faith. What was it based upon? Well, I think it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 25, and I'm reading from verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Isaac was certainly aware of what God had told Rebekah, and although Jacob lied and deceived his father, Isaac insisted, quote, "I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." Now Isaac sensed God's will in this event and expressed his faith in God's word to Rebekah instead of trying to revoke the blessing which placed Jacob over his brother. Now we wonder, how can God bless a deceiver? Friends, I think it's to show us grace. Jacob did not deserve the blessing. He wasn't worthy. I've been troubled as I read the Old Testament about this man Jacob. Oh, he was sneaky. You can't trust Jacob. But God wanted to teach us grace by this example in the Old Testament, in spite of the man's sin. The blessing of God on Jacob upsets everything that we have been taught about religion. We've been taught that if we are good, then we will inherit blessings and eternal life. We have been taught that if we serve God, then God will serve out some good blessing to us. Friends, that's not the way it is in the Bible. The Bible tells us about God's grace. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, that God justifies not good people. God justifies the ungodly. And he said, the person who believes God, his faith, will be counted to him as righteousness. The Apostle Paul had something to say about these two brothers and God's method of grace. It begins in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Listen to it. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because they are the descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, quote, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, end the quote. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Now this tells us something about men who would judge God for going along with unrighteousness. It just shows that we don't always understand what God is doing. And one thing that men clearly do not understand is that God blesses by grace, not by merit. Now we move on to verse 21. It reads, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. The story of Jacob's blessing of his grandsons is in Genesis chapter 48, and I don't want to assume that you know that story, so I'm going to read it, beginning with Genesis 48, verse 8. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, who are these? They are the sons God has given me here, Joseph said to his father. Then Israel, and of course that's Jacob, said, bring them to me, so I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. And crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, In your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, I am about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. And to you, as one who is over your brothers, I give the ridge of land I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow. We see here that the younger grandson received the primary blessing. Jacob had faith. He believes God will fulfill all that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and himself. So he blesses his grandsons as he looked into the future, believing that God would do what he said he would do. He had faith in the promise of God, which is always the basis of faith in the biblical record. Men did not just hope God would do something for them. That's not faith. They instead expected something to happen because God promised to make something happen. Without a promise, there can be no faith. Beware of people who ask you to wish upon a star, as the song goes, or to believe something that is not true. That's not faith. That's presumption. This chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about the heroes of faith. Many of us were taught as children that if we were good, we might get to heaven. But the Bible tells us that no one is good enough. And God asks us to abandon reliance on good deeds and religion so grace can save us. If this is new to you, write for a copy of our free grace booklet. It'll explain it. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calabota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.